You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
's Wednesday, 11 December. We've got local and U.S. November inflation due later today. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Kieran Whitten from Anchor. His top investment ideas for 2025 are local and offshore. Frank Blackmore from KPMG South Africa looking ahead. Local GDP rates and inflation. Bastian Tegwerba from Prescient Investment Management. What's in store for 2025 is on a Trump presidency. How's it going to impact South African investors? This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Can airport company South Africa fix our broken airports? Mammoth $6.5 billion earmarked for CapEx, but it couldn't even spend $700 million last year. News 24, South Africa's business confidence soars to highest level in 9 years. Index compiled by South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry jumped to 118.1, up from 114.2, highest since October 2015. Morning markets, US was red. S&P down 0.3%. NASDAQ down 0.3%. The East is red. We've got Sydney down 0.1%. Tokyo 0.2% lower. Hong Kong off 0.1% and Tencent down 0.3%. Commodities mostly green. Gold $2,740 an ounce. Brent $7,262. Platinum $9.53. Palladium down $1.986. Rand $17.86. Bitcoin 97,300, and top 40 opening call 290 points to the red, a little over a third of a percent lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Kieran Whitten from Anchor. Kieran, appreciate the early morning time. Looking for sort of your best investment ideas. Fortunately, your investment team and yourselves have been looking at Anchor's top five local and offshore picks for next year. Let's start local. Advertech. Certainly, I mean, I'll disclaimer up front, I hold Advertech. I love the chart, bottom left, top right. And you think there's still space here for the business?
Good morning, Simon. Good to be back on the show. Yeah, it's that time of year again where we're now looking into 2025. It really has flown by this year.
Yeah.
And Advertech, we identify as being now firmly the top pick in a sector that we like a lot. Mm-hmm. We do still hold Curo and Stadio throughout our book, but Advertech is the one that we are becoming increasingly confident with. And Simon, like you're saying, bottom left, top right, it's become one of the local market darlings, if you're being honest. It's got high investor trust in its ability now to deliver steady improvements in both academic and financial returns. And the three main pillars to the investment thesis, which I'll quickly go over, it's the growing presence in the secondary education space.
Yeah.
Parents are looking for options other than the public school system, and private schools just remain out of reach for many South Africans still. Secondly is the geographic expansion into Africa. They've successfully expanded into Kenya, Botswana, and now they are entering Ghana next. And the ease with which they've been able to penetrate these markets has been quite exceptional. And the cost control whilst expanding has been something commendable as well. And then lastly, and most promising, we believe, is the opportunity in the tertiary education space. They're also gaining market share here, and they are progressing towards full university accreditation. Mm-hmm. They've just purchased a new campus in Sandton that's capable of hosting about 9,000 students. And ultimately, tertiary is much higher margin than primary and secondary education, and therefore, overall, just very comfortable with holding this company. And we do really expect it to keep on delivering strong returns going forward.
Yeah, but just having a quick look at it, it's about sixfold up since the lows of the pandemic. And they did a strategy day towards the end of November. I didn't attend the day, but I was able to see the PowerPoint presentation, and they make a very compelling story around that. Mm-hmm. Your offshore is Eli Lilly, Novo Nordisk. I imagine these are the obesity drugs.
Yes, Simon, of course. And this is, you know, all the frenzy has been about artificial intelligence at the moment. But we really do are strongly convicted that these GLP-1 obesity drugs are also a new revolutionary technology. And often what happens with new technologies is that share price bubbles do form before the full economic impact is felt. And then these bubbles end up coming off a bit. And we think that we're starting to see that. The last 6 months, these share prices have come off a bit. And we still think that the full economic impact will be felt going forward and that a more sustainable share price rally will follow for both of these companies. And then just briefly behind the thesis, obesity is a big problem globally today. More than 1 billion people are clinically obese. Yep. And Novo and Eli have historically generated most of their revenue selling diabetes medication. Yeah. But obesity drugs are now quickly becoming the primary driver of revenue for both of them. And I think what's interesting about this is that when patients stop taking the medication, they return to their old habits and end up actually gaining weight again. And this creates a long-term reliance on the drugs and ultimately a recurring revenue stream for both of these companies. And this obviously makes it a more attractive investment when they are so dependent on it. And Eli's, and then just between the two, Eli's Zepbound has seen better efficacy, with patients losing around 20% of their body weight compared to Novo's 15%. That patients lose. And this does partly explain the outperformance of Eli Lilly, but now we're awaiting for the trial results from the updated variant of Novo's drug Wegovy, which they claim will help people lose up to 25% of body weight without increased side effects, which is the big one, the big factor there. And it's tough to pick a winner, so we would recommend holding both of these after the recent slide down in the last few months.
I take your point. Sometimes picking the winner is just hard. So, well, why not a bit of both? And those numbers, a billion people, 25%. Your numbers are giant. We leave it there. Kieran Whitten, you find him at Anchor. Really appreciate the early morning. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Frank Blackmore, lead economist at KPMG South Africa. Frank, appreciate the time. A lot of positivity in South Africa post the election. We've got Eskom working. We've got inflation and rates heading lower. We've got a surprisingly bad Q3 GDP, but that was really all about agriculture. I want to ask, first question, as we go into 2025, can we expect better GDP coming through, perhaps a plus 1%, even a plus 1.5% for the year?
Yes, I think that's what we're hoping for ourselves. Remember, even if we look at something like monetary policy and the recent reductions in September and November in interest rates, 25 basis points, these are not immediately impacting on the economy, but are cumulative over time. I think they've given both businesses and consumers a bit of extra money in their pockets in order to be able to spend, and this we feel will continue well into 2025, perhaps another 1 percentage point in total. So 4 more reductions may take place to get us to around that 6.75%, 7%, which the Reserve Bank seems to signal as sort of the long-term stable level. And I think by the time we get there, that should be quite a bit of relief both to business and consumers, and we should see the positive impacts of that coming through in spending.
My sense of economics, I'm not the boffin here, is that it can take, 12 to 18 months for rate cuts or hikes to properly work their way through. There's an immediate hit. Yeah. You pay less in your bond next month. But to really get into the economy, it's going to take much of next year.
It takes quite some time, because I think if you're thinking like a business, you're not predicting the interest rate in 6 months' time or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You wait until interest rates are at a point where projects that you are planning in your strategy, in your growth sort of strategy, become viable at current levels of borrowing. And at that point, you start initiating that decision to borrow more and to go through with those projects.
Yeah.
So we have to wait until the climate is good, as opposed to anticipate the climate coming good. I think, though, there will be some relief for the people who have current debt on their books and who are paying less to service that debt over time, and they will need something to spend that money on that might also be saved for future type of investment projects, or it can be spent on sort of shorter term consumption type efforts.
If you're looking for potentially 3, maybe 4 rate cuts next year, that means that inflation, certainly locally in South Africa, is properly under control. Maybe not the 2.8 that we saw because there was some fuel price help in that, but certainly maybe at the lower end of that range.
Yes, absolutely. At least I think the reference point for inflation should be the target of 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
And our forecast sees inflation remaining below that target, at least into 2026, which means that there won't be pressure on the bank to start considering either ending its cutting or, in fact, increasing that cycle for quite some time still. Obviously, if we look, one of the other factors is, or the global factors that impact South Africa, you know, in our sort of global forecast that we've brought out, we've said there's a lot of geopolitical uncertainty remaining. One of the sources of that is obviously the resulting presidency in the US,
yeah.
Given how the incoming President Trump has spoken about sort of tariffs and whatnot. So both trade and immigration sort of restrictions, those type of things are inflationary by nature. And it will depend on what and how much of those policies are brought in. They might impact South Africa as well and result in inflation not falling to the sort of lows we would expect if those were not the case.
I mean, how much? I mean, the Fed is important. It's the largest economy in the world, absolutely. The dollar is the currency of the world. If the Fed pauses, I mean, does that give pause to our MPC? Or do they keep half an eye or a full eye on what the Fed is doing?
I think they'll keep half an eye on what the Fed's doing. I think the Reserve Bank locally has said they're going to be data dependent in their actions. They have to look primarily at their monetary policy must focus on us, South Africa, primarily. There are, of course, impacts of us doing something. If the Fed does not do something, we have an exchange rate effect. We would perhaps import inflation under those conditions, and they have to take that into account over the longer period. But I think their primary focus will be what's happening to South African prices over the medium to long term.
A last question. What about our unemployment? I mean, we had a last number was a little bit better, but it remains chronically poor at plus 30%. And of course, if we go to the expanded definition, over 40, are we making material headwinds into that? Or is it still going to be baby steps?
I think, unfortunately, baby steps. If you think of the population in South Africa is growing around 1.5%, that's net of people coming to South Africa, leaving South Africa, births, deaths, etc., 1.5%. That doesn't mean that the working age population or the labor force grows by 1.5%, grows a little bit less, given that we have a young population in South Africa. So that's sort of our target for parity. If we're not growing at least 1.5, we're not keeping things stable, and currently we're not growing close to that number, and therefore there will always be underlying pressure on unemployment, unfortunately. What we need to see is something closer to, you know, the old sort of growth targets that we heard under the developing projects that we've had of 5%, or even these days closer to 3%, I think we'll see then a sustainable decrease in that unemployment number.
Yeah, I take your point. I suppose we're kind of maybe on that road. It's just going to take a bit of time. We'll leave it there. Frank Blackmore, lead economist, KPMG South Africa. Appreciate the time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. What GDP do you think we can do in 2025? President has promised us a 3.25%. Consensus seems to be closer to 1.5%. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Bastian Trigiba, Chief Investment Officer, Prescient Investment Management. Bastian, appreciate the time. We've got President-elect Trump. He'll be sworn in next year, January the 20th. The question on everyone's sort of thoughts is, how's his administration going to impact global trade policies? He certainly talked a lot around tariffs, left, right, and center. But truthfully, do we have any sort of strong sense of what we can really expect from President Trump when he takes the office on the 20th of Jan?
Thanks for having me on, and good morning. Definitely. I mean, a lot of talk around tariffs, and I guess everybody's frightened off that. Especially once Trump speaks blanket tariffs against the rest of the world, that will obviously heavily impact global trade. He has already threatened the BRICS particularly, which would obviously have an impact on us in South Africa. But let's wait and see. The reality is that he is transactional. He does understand that tariffs are growth reducing, and that's not just paid by foreign nations, but also by Americans. So it's not quite clear to me that he will push through everything which he promised so far in terms of tariffs.
I take your point on that, and that certainly was when he threatened Mexico and Canada. It seemed to be more a negotiating stance than actually a desire to put a 25% tariff on either country. It is that transactional, and certainly I've chatted with some China boffins, and they say China's comfortable to work with Trump because of that transactional nature.
Yeah, 100%. I guess there is a little bit. Historically, we said there's more uncertainty with Trump taking office than there would be with Biden running the U.S. presidency. But I'm not too sure about that. He is transactional and he's calculatable. He wants the best for the Americans. And I guess that's understandable. So what we must do in South Africa, just do the right thing. I mean, understand him. And maybe we should not push for an independent BRICS currency and being independent of the dollar. I mean, there's no point. He will keep on leveraging the strengths of the dollar. He will keep on leveraging the dollar being the reserve currency. So it's hard to fight that. And I guess one has to just give him what he wants there.
Is there not a contradiction there that Trump talks about a strong dollar, but America might actually benefit from a weaker dollar?
They potentially would benefit from a weaker dollar long term, but I guess generally, Trump does want a stronger dollar. Also, the Americans are not that heavily export-oriented anymore. Remember that they have a very strong consumer-oriented economy, so they can handle a strong dollar. And I guess that's where we're going. So all the policies which he will probably put in place, not just the tariffs, but also probably being fiscally expansionary, will strengthen the dollar and probably lead to a stronger dollar. A lot of it is in the price, though. I mean, the dollar has already strengthened, and that's the best sign that the Trump policies will be good for the dollar, strengthening the dollar.
And is it as simple as if we have a stronger dollar because of Trump policies that will weaken the rand? Notwithstanding, as you say, a lot of it seems to be in the price already.
I don't think it's quite that simple, to be honest. Reason being that our South African economy is geared heavily towards global growth. So our currency generally tends to do well if the global economy does well. And the Trump policies, many of them are actually pro-growth. So if you just consider that he also deregulates a lot of the businesses in America, that he cuts taxes, strengthens the U.S. consumer, that will have implications on global growth, strengthening global growth. And the rand being a carrying currency, a high beta currency, normally that should benefit the rand. So yes, stronger dollar, but potentially maybe we've got a stronger dollar and a stronger rand, and those two currencies appreciate against other currency pairs.
A quick last one, geopolitical tensions. I mean, there's still a fair bit happening out there. I mean, we've got Ukraine, Syria over the weekend, of course, the war in the Middle East. Those are not going away, and those are certainly, investors are keeping a careful eye on them, particularly European.
100%. So I do agree that the geopolitical tensions will be the key risk into 2025. I mean, when last has the outlook not been uncertain, but I think this time around it's really focusing on geopolitics. It's hard to see de-escalation in the Ukraine, especially. That's the sad part, that we have just, the situation has just gotten worse. So Trump made big promises there as well to resolve the situation. Let's see. I guess it's quite possible that he does, but that's really what we need to keep an eye on in 2025, because geopolitical tensions have just been on the rise over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I take your point. Uncertainty is almost the name of the game, but unfortunately that the Ukraine situation does not seem to be going anywhere anytime. We'll leave it there. It's Bastien Trecheba, Chief Investment Officer, Prescient Investment Management. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We're chatting with Mikhail Motola from PSG Asset Management yesterday. The bull case for SA Inc. stocks. They've had a good 2024. Is there more space for next year? We asked you if you were bullish SA Inc. for 2025. Just over half of you said yes, but cautiously so. A third said very much so. The rest of you were saying nope, it's run already. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7 a.m. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow, the GNU and the economy.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.